some heat on the SEC.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The agency that monitors Wall Street has a pretty good reputation for keeping its nose clean. The Securities and Exchange Commission would like to keep it that way, but today the head of the SEC testifies before Congress. He'll face questions about stopping an investigation because the target was a White House connection. More now from Scott Tong.
Last summer, Gary Aguirre was an SEC attorney. He suspected insider trading at a hedge fund involving John Mack, now the CEO at Morgan Stanley. Aguirre wanted to subpoena Mack, but he says higher-ups at the SEC staff said no, because Mack's a big-time fundraiser for the president. Soon after, Aguirre was fired. It all puzzles Duke Law professor James Cox. He says SEC staffers have long been considered clean and apolitical.
If there's any evidence of congressional pressure to pull back on a enforcement investigation, this would put the SEC in the same class as the Chicago Black Sox scandal of years past.
An SEC in-house investigation found no sign of dirty business, but the investigation was reopened Thursday, the same day the commission told John Mack it wanted to question him. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
A nice rally on Wall Street thanks to some fat earnings, takeovers, and other happy shareholder moments. The Dow climbed 1.7% to 11,051. The Nasdaq finished up 2%. The S&P 500, 1.5%. Today, Japanese investors also bought stock. The Nikkei jumped 1.8%. These days, you can commit fraud just by clicking a mouse. Advertisers are upset with Google for not doing enough to stop click fraud. Today, a judge in Arkansas hears more about Google's offer to settle lawsuits over this. Janet Babin reports.
Click fraud happens when companies try to drive up the advertising costs of a rival by clicking on that company's ads when they don't intend to buy anything. Advertisers only pay Google when their links are double-clicked. Eleanor Mills with CNetNews.com says part of the problem is that search engines are secretive about how they curb click fraud.
They don't want to reveal too much about what goes on behind the scenes because that will give up competitive information and could help their rivals.
The company maintains that it uses sophisticated techniques to root out click abuses. Advertisers have filed 51 objections since the settlement received preliminary approval in March. Judge Joe Griffin is considering whether to modify the agreement. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Motorola's done pretty well with its thin phone called the Razr. The company sold 50 million of them in the past couple years, but competitors came up with their own slim phones. So now Motorola's going even skinnier. They've unveiled the Krizzr and the Rizzr. The Krizzr is thinner than the Razr. Motorola is targeting people with smaller hands, women and Asians. By the way, the name Krizzr has no vowels in it, so I'm really not sure how to pronounce it. This is Marketplace. Well, we avoided rolling blackouts here in California yesterday, but we still had some record power outages because of the heat. And as Sarah Gardner reports, that's bad for business.
During the California energy crisis of 2000-2001, rolling blackouts periodically shut down everything from assembly lines to computer servers. No one has exact numbers, but according to one study, just 2 days of blackouts alone cost California business $1.7 billion in lost productivity. Gino DeCaro is at the California Manufacturers and Technology Association.
One manufacturer produced paperboard and cardboard boxes. They have pipes that actually have glue flow through them, and anytime they go through rolling blackouts that are unpredictable, well, that glue freezes up, and it takes 2 days to actually clean out those pipes.
Temperatures in the Golden State are expected to ease somewhat by midweek, but officials warn the summer's not even half over. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, announcing the Triumphant Souls Award and the Global Heroes Program, Medtronic Twin Cities Marathon programs for runners with chronic disease. More at MedtronicTwinCitiesMarathon.org. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. The people of Lebanon were hoping for a record tourist season this summer. Instead, they got war. Thousands of tourists are fleeing the country because of the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah. A lot of those tourists are going to Egypt. So now Egypt is hoping for a bump in tourism. Visitors who tour the pyramids will notice signs advertising the next big thing coming to Egypt. Nancy Fargali tells us what it is.
A single cement truck coughs up sand in a desert plateau near the pyramids. It's close to 100 degrees. There's no shade, nothing to block the sun from baking the faces of construction workers. In a few weeks, they'll begin building the largest archaeological museum in the world, the Grand Egyptian Museum.
We are overlooking the pyramids. It's about 1.5 miles from the pyramids.
Yasser Mansour is the chief architect for the new museum. Inside his air-conditioned office, he keeps his cool about the project's budget.
It's now about $600 million, right? And the number is getting larger and larger.
About $36 million will come from the Traveling King Tut show in the U.S. More than $100 million will come from the Egyptian government. Tourism is a $6 billion a year industry in Egypt, and Mansour says the current museum leaves visitors wanting more.
It was built to accommodate about 15,000 artifacts from ancient Egyptian history. Now it accommodates 176,000 pieces of artifacts, so it's overcrowded.
More so in the last week. Folks who planned vacations in Lebanon are now coming to Cairo. Hotels are nearly booked. The Cairo Museum was built for 500 guests a day. Now it welcomes 10,000 visitors a day during peak tourist season. And that number will only increase as tourists revise their travel plans. Zahi Hawass is the Secretary General of the Supreme Council of Antiquities in Egypt. He says the new museum can handle a bigger load of visitors.
People can stay now at least not 1 or 2 hours as they go to the Cairo Museum. They need one day, and that will increase the days for visiting Egypt.
And that will help camel owners like Saeed Abu Ghazala. He waits for a tourist to buy a white scarf before making a pitch. He offers her a Kodak moment with his camel near the Great Pyramid, all for the bargain price of $3. That's triple what many Egyptians earn in a day. He hopes the new museum will guarantee a consistent flow of visitors and a consistent paycheck.
Everybody who will need to come to visit. And I think the new museum, it will be beside the pyramid. It is very important.
The Egyptian government hopes he's right. They're banking on an additional 3 million tourists a year. In Cairo, I'm Nancy Fergali for Marketplace.
We've got some pretty cool new features on our website, like the Marketplace Confessional. That sounds intriguing, doesn't it? Check it out at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Next time on Marketplace.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.